Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Gimel. We begin three lines from the top with the simon that is provided here. The simonim, as I mentioned many times, are a skula to say them. They were very practical and important mnemonics that were put into place in order to help remember. They were doing this all by heart. We have the unbelievable zuchus to have Gemaras in front of us, Art Scroll Gemaras in front of us, the Koran Gemara in front of us, Steinsaltz. You have all unbelievable aids. They did this not only without having just a plain Gemara Rashi Tosus in front of them, they did this all by heart. So these mnemonics are extremely important and helpful. It's a big school in saying them. So we start off with a simon. This simon is going to be basically what each of the upcoming ideas that we're going to be discussing is about. So simon isha vikarka ezer zos shtei habrechos. That's the two words is one idea. Finally tagare and pachse. So these are going to be seven statements that we're going to now darshan from Rabbi Elazar. So I'm Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar tells us the first one will be isha. I won't mention each time what the mnemonic is. Most of them are self-evident. Okay, so Amar Bilazar, Kol Adam Shein Lo Isha. This is continuing the Agadah that we had at the end of yesterday's share. It says if a person hasn't yet been zochet to find their wife, Eino Adam, he's not considered to be a Adam. Adam is the highest level of human being, so to say. We have Ish, we have Gever, we've mentioned other times. Klai Yisrael is always called Adam, as a singular. So a person who doesn't yet have a wife, so that person is not called Adam. Now, this is based upon the pasuk in Bereishis, where it says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, Shenemar Zohar Unakeva Barom, he created them originally. The Medrash tells us, Warren Brachos has a great discussion about this, that Adam and Chava originally created as a single unit, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated Chava from Adam. Now, the word in the pasuk that we're missing over here is, Vayevaruch Hosam, Hashem blessed them, and the single entity of man and woman together, Vayikro Eshimam Adam, when they were together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called them Adam. So you see here that without the Isha, without having the wife, so a person isn't considered complete. Yom Rav Loza then said as well, called Adam Shein Lo Karka, a person doesn't own land. We'll see later on, we'll say that owning land actually isn't a good thing. And here we're saying it is a good thing. So Tosos points out, in Dibur HaMasko, Shein Lo Umnas, who point out that the difference here is we're talking about real estate for houses, for businesses, as opposed to later on we'll be talking about real estate for farming. So farming can be a very difficult profession, very necessary, but a very difficult profession. And here it's saying that kol adam shein lo karka, if a person doesn't have his own house, he doesn't have real estate, that he owns his own place where he lives, so then also ain't no adam, he's not a complete person. And this is based upon the pasuk where it says, Shenemar shemayim shemayim l'shem, v'aretz nasan livnei adam. Adam will have aretz, he'll have land, he'll have karka. The next statement from Rabbi Elazar, Yom Rabbi Elazar, might just say, what does it mean when the pasuk says, "Es elo ezer kenegdo"? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make Chava to be an ezer kenegdo. So the first version of this that we have is zocha. If a man is zochet to it, Rashi explains in the Gemara elsewhere in Erevin Daf Nun Daled. You can see this in the top Masoras Hashas Os Aleph. He says that in Yesh Lo Mazel Tov, if the person has good fortune, if the person has good luck, so then he will have a ozarto, a wife who will help him. But Nebuch Lo Zocha, if he's not deserving of having him, so then his wife will be not Ezer, but not ozarto, but Kenegdo. She'll always be constantly against him. Now this is actually a good thing. The idea behind this is that if a person is going in the wrong path, his wife will hopefully steer him in the right path. They're a partnership. And therefore, if the man is not necessarily doing everything that he should be doing right, hopefully the wife will be a ezer kenegdo to help him by being against him. Sometimes she can help him by being with him going forward. If he's going in the right direction, they can support each other. But sometimes she has to be kenegdo. So that's what it means, zocha, lo zocha. Okay, that's the first understanding of this. Others explain that Rabbi Elazar actually contrasted the word kinegdo. Rabbi Elazar, Rami, the pasuk is spelled without a yud, so it could be read kisiv kinagdo, like a woman who gives him a zetz, with karinam, but we pronounce it as if it has a yud in it. It doesn't have a yud in it, but we pronounce it kinegdo. And therefore, the drasha of Rabbi Elazar is as follows. Zocha, if the person is good mazel, if he's fortunate, so then kinegdo, his wife will be an ezer kenegdo, a partner with him. She will be standing with him, kenegdo, right beside him. However, lo zocha, but the person doesn't have this good mazel, so then minagdito, then she will give him lashes, she will give him a zetz. So again, the wife can be in either of these two positions. She could be a tremendous aid to the husband, or if the husband doesn't deserve it, then she will not be a tremendous aid to him. We have a Maisa Shahaya. Ashkeche Rav Yossi Eliyahu. One time Rav Yossi had Gilui Eliyahu, and he met up with Eliyahu HaNavi. And he asked Eliyahu HaNavi, Amalei, see, one pasuk says, Eslo Ezer. So one pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will make you an Ezer. So, Bameh Isha Ozartu Liyadam. So he says, exactly how does the woman help the man? So Eliyahu responds, and he says, Amalei, Adam Mevi Chitim. The man goes out to the field, and he harvests, and he brings back wheat. Does he eat the wheat? Chitim Kosis? Does he chew the wheat? Right? The Gemara Baruch Hu has a whole discussion about what brach you make when you chew wheat. You make a bar pri adama on it, not a mizonus on it, and certainly not hamotzi. So Pishtan, he goes out and he brings back all the linen, the flax that he grew. So Pishtan Lovish, does he put on a garment that's just made of Pishtan? No, he has to first make it into a garment. So that's what it means. The wife is an Ezer Kenegdo. She could be supporting him in everything that he does. She could be a full partner with him. Lo nimtes mira enough, so therefore doesn't she go and light up his eyes? Umamidasu araglav, and help him stand up on his feet. In other words, that's what it means. Aslo Ezer, I will give him a partner, somebody that can help him to do all the things that the man wants to do. A man and a woman have different roles. They have different responsibilities. They have different partnership roles that they play in the partnership. Okay. The next item for Rabbi Elazar, Yom Rabbi Elazar, my decision, what does the pasuk mean when it says, I read you the whole pasuk. It says, "Vayomer Adam zos ha'pam etzem yatzomai uvosot mibesori lezos yikare isha ki biish lukach hazos." So the pasuk is telling us that this time Adam says, "Zos ha'pam." Now, Baruch Hashem, I found etzem yatzomai, a person who is from my bones and from my flesh. In other words, he now has found Chava, and he calls her that lezos yikare isha. To this woman, I will call my wife. Now, the Gemara tells us, teaches us, that Adam had, now Ba normally means he had relations, but obviously it can't mean that he had relations with every animal. That's one of the Shevet Mitzvos from Noach, that you're not allowed to commit bestiality, arayis, immoralities, znus. It was prohibited even to the Bnei Noach. So it's impossible to say that Adam and Rishon actually had relations with every animal. And he wasn't pleased, so to say. He wasn't comforted. He didn't get any real pleasure from those relations. So it can't mean that he had physical relations. Impossible. So what does it mean? So he analyzed, he looked at each animal and says, is this an appropriate partner for me? So he went through every single creature in the world. He went to the whales and said, no, the whales aren't going to be a good partner for me. He went to the elephants, not a good partner for me. He went to the lions, not a good partner for me. He went to every animal in the world and said, no, this isn't my Ezer Kenegdo. This isn't the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to make this world a better place. Ad Shabal Chava. Until he met up with Chava. Once he met up with Chava, he said, oh, this is my Ezer Kenegdo. So that's what it means. Zos hapam. Now I know, Baruch Hashem, this is the partner for me, a man and a wife. Now, Rabbi Elazar continues, he says, Rabbi Elazar, my decision was the pasuk mean when it says, by Avram Avinu, beginning of the pasuk is, Vabarucha, Mibarachacha, Mechalelcha, or, V'nivruchu, V'cha, Kol Mishpachos, V'adama. And all of the nations of the world, the Mishpachos, the Adama, the families of this world, will be blessed by you. The V'nivruchu, V'cha, through you, they will be blessed. What does that mean? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu li'Avram, Shtei brechos tovos. A brecha over here could mean a graft. I'm going to give you two branches from the rest of the world. Sheyeshi lahavrich b'cha, that I will graft into you. I will go and add these two non-Jewish families, so to say, into you, and that will improve you. When you graft one tree onto another tree, you can make something that's even better. So he says, I'm going to add on to you the families of Rus HaMoaviyah, who of course was the mother of Malchus Beis David. She ultimately led to, by marrying Boaz and they had a child, ultimately led to David and Malchus Beis David and Mashiach Tzikenu. And as well, I'm grafting onto you the Namo HaAmonos. Naamah was the wife of Shlomo HaMelech and the mother of Rehoboam. As Rashi points out, this led to many great kings, such as Chizkiah HaMelech, Yaasov, Yehoshaphat, as Rashi says, the Habu Tzadikim Gemurim, and as well Yeshaya Navi. Yeshaya Navi was also from this lineage, and says that Amots V'Amatzia, Acham have you. And Yeshaya was therefore a relative of Chizkiah HaMelech. So they were not only great individuals, but they all came from these two grafts, Rus HaMoaviyah and Namo HaMonis. So that's what it means, V'nivruchu v'cha, I will graft onto you from the Mishpachos HaAdamah. And it says, "Kol mishpachos hadavo." Why does that come to teach us? Afilu mishpachos hadoros be'adama, that all of the families of the world will be blessed through you. Here we're taking the literal translation of the word v'nivrichu kol mishpachos hadavo, even those families that are in the adama. Everything in this world is because of the zuchus of Klai Yisrael. All the benefits that the world has, all the good things that happen in the world, they're all because of Klai Yisrael. And then it says, "Kol goyei yaretz." This is another pasuk. This pasuk is the Avram Hayo Yiyeh Legoy Gadol V'Yatzum V'Nivruch Vo Kol goyei yaretz. So what does the word here, Kol goyei yaretz, come to teach us? Afilu Svinos Habos Migalyo Liaspamya. Even the people that aren't living on the ground, even the people that are sailors, they're traveling in the boats from these two places, Galia, La Spamia. These people also, they only get their bracha, they only get all their blessings. It's all because of Klai Yisrael. As Tosus points out up here, from the word kol, kol goye aretz vidarshin, we call dorish shabol rabos afilu hanach shein omdim elam adbaretz. They're most of the time in the ocean. These are sailors, these are seafarers, and they're most of the time out on the ocean. So they only spend a small amount of time on the ground. So that's why it had to tell us, not only v'nivruchu b'chol kol mishpachos hadamo, it says even kol goye aretz, even the people that are not living on the land, so to say, they're mostly in boats, they also get all of their bracha wholly from Klai Yisrael. Mark continues with another statement from Rabbi Elazar. Yom Rabbi Elazar, Asidim kol bali umenios shiyamdu ala karka. Rashi explains over here that all of the different artisans, all of the different professionals, at some point in time, they're going to stop doing their work, and in fact, they're going to just work the land. Rashi Diba Matzul shiyamdu ala karka says, Yanichu umnosam, they're going to leave their professions, lasuk b'chorish u'b'kotzu, to become farmers. Why is this? Shenemar v'yordu, they're going to leave their boats. Kol tose moshot, those people that are rowing the boats. Malochim kol chovle yayam, the sailors that are going on the waters. And instead, they're going to come el haaretz. The Rosh Hashanah says the word should be spelled with an aleph, not with an ayin. And all of them will come and go onto the ground. El haaretz yamodu, they're going to go and work the ground. Now, this is, it says in the Lashon of v'yardu, so this is that going to lead into the next statement that Rabbi Elazar says, which is Omar Rabbi Elazar, En lecha umnas pechusa min hakarka. Shenemar v'yardu. This pasuk over here, we dash in further, it says v'yardu, so it means that they will go down. They were having different high-paid professions, but now they're going to be satisfied. They're going to want to just have a simple life that go be farmers. Rashi adds that it'll be an impoverished life to a certain extent. Loshon yuridas anias. They're going to go down into poverty, yet they're going to be happy. Rabbi Elazar chazil hayaru. Rabbi Elazar saw a certain land, and dishde be kirova lefusya. He saw that the person who had planted this land had planted it in the width, going from one side to the other side along the width, and he planted a certain type of kirova, which is usually translated as cabbage. Rashi says it's a zera kruv. That's his first lashon. Lishna achrina, he says kruv means charisha, that he plowed it in a certain way. In any way, this wasn't the most optimal way to plow it. So Amalei, Rabbi Elazar said to this person, he said, even if you had plowed it in the most optimal way, e tishdei leurkech, even if you had plowed it in the lengthwise fashion, as Rashi says, afilu tachzor v'tachrashna lo yoil klum lefiyiska, you still won't make as much profit as somebody that goes into business. In other words, farming is not the most lucrative of fields. Essential, but not the most lucrative of fields. So hafuchei be'iska, somebody that does business, he turns the money around and around, so then that's a better way to earn money. That will make you more wealthy. Now, there are the Meiri understands this in a different way. He says that even if this field was filled up with money, nevertheless, still being in business would be more profitable than being a farmer. Similarly, Rav Ol Lebeni Shible. Rav was once passing through a field of Shibolim, and he saw Chazenhu, the Kohen Naifun, and they were waving. As Rashi points out, Aruach min hasheves zu bezu. The wind was blowing them, it was very beautiful. Nevertheless, Amalahu, Rav said to them, Kaviyochli was speaking to the Shibolus, and he says, Inaifis is nufe. You can go and wave and wave and wave. As Rashi says, Kama shetirtu, wave as much as you want. Ain't toelis behen. It's not going to help you as much as somebody doing business. Hafuche beiska tavminoch. Somebody that does business is better off than you. In other words, better to be a businessman than to be a farmer. Furthermore, Amar Rava, Rava said, if a person has Mea Zuzah, it's 100 Zuz, better to put it in Iska, take these coins and put them into business. And in this way, Koyoma, every day, you'll be successful, and Bisav Chavra, and you'll have meat, and you'll have wine to eat and drink. But if you were to go put this money into the ground, Mea Zuzah Ba'ara, if you go invest it in farming, so then you're only going to eat Milcha V'chafura. Rashi says that this means Shachas, this means like animal fodder type of food, Schor Muat, you're not going to make a lot of money, V'ochla Sovim V'chazes B'melach, and you can eat a very poor quality of food, and you'll have salt on it. Furthermore, V'lo'od, Ella Meganya Le'ahara, you have to work very hard. You're going to have to sleep in the field. Rashi says to protect the field because people are constantly going to want to come and take your food. So you're going to not only have to work very hard, but as Rashi says, Mashkevus so ala aris, lishmor kol ha'layla. You have to stay out in the field and lie down in your field to watch it. And furthermore, over Mami Le Tigre, and people are going to constantly be saying, hey, that's my field. As Rashi says, Bishvilo miskoti to bnei adam. People are going to say, hey, that's my field. And you have to go to court. You're going to have battles. So therefore, Rava said that put your money into the market. Put your money into business rather than into farming. More I got it to type of items, more advice. Amar Papa, Zera Lo Tisben. It's much better to go and plant your own food rather than go and buy it. When you plant your own food, there's more of a bracha, as we'll see. So Apple Gab, the Chi Hadode Ninu, even though the actual total cost might be the same if you go and work it yourself or buy it in the store, nevertheless, honey mibarcha. It's much better. You'll get more of a bracha on the items that you farmed yourself, that you grew yourself. Incidentally, I would say that the din is, for example, when a person redeems his own Maaser Sheni, so he has to add on a fifth because it's more dear to him, it's more special to him, so he has to pay more for it to redeem it than if he just redeems somebody else's Maaser Sheni. So your own crops, that has a dearness to it, a specialness to it, more so than if you just buy it in the store, even though it may be the actual same cost. Likewise, Zabin Velo Tizo. It's better if you have to go and sell your properties, sell something. If you have no choices, Rashi says, Mechor Kli Tashbishech, go and sell your utensils, V'yishtamesh B'domim B'frak Matcha, and take that money that you get and put it into business. Kodim Shetovo Lidei Anias, before you're desperate and you're poor. So don't be afraid to sometimes sell something in order to get some capital to work with so you can make money and not become impoverished. But this is only talking about Hani Mili Bistraki. This is only talking about, Rashi says, Klei Habayis, the various utensils that you have in the house, but not clothing. Avo Glima, Rashi says, Shehi Liskabe B'Levi Shasa. Clothing makes the man. So the nice clothing that you have, Lo Yimkor, Rashi says, don't go and sell it. Lo Misramule, Zumora says, because you may not come to find garments as nice as that, and it will be overall a denigration of your status because you can't find nice clothing to replace those that you sold. Likewise, tom below tashbitz. The simple understanding over here is tom, Rashi says, is the tagum of sason, to plug up. So if a person has a little hole in his house, tom, fill it up below tashbitz, but don't enlarge it so you can do a better repair on it. That's not a good idea. Just plug up the little hole. Don't make it into a bigger hole. No, if you made it into a bigger hole, shapot, the low tivide. Okay, so if you felt you had to do that to make a better repair, so do that, but don't knock the whole wall down and rebuild the wall. Why? Shekola osik bevinyan mismaske. Because anybody that deals with construction knows that it is very expensive and it's going to make you poor. It's going to impoverish you because it's very expensive. So Rashi says, low top bill is called a kosel v'tivneyu. Much better that you don't knock the wall down. Do as minimal repairs as you have to make a good repair. The less, the better. But if you have to do a little bit more, do a little bit more. But don't knock the whole thing down and rebuild it. Shekola oseik bevinyan mismaskin. Anybody that's involved in construction, it's expensive. Then it says, kifotz zoven ara. If you have the opportunity, jump at it to go buy land. Mesun nesiv itza. But take your time when you're deciding who should be your wife. In other words, when it comes to a real estate deal, so go for it, jump for it. But when it comes to a woman, don't jump right away to take the first woman that comes to you. Investigate her and make sure that she's proper for you. And in general, nechis darga nesivissa. Don't be afraid to marry a woman that's, quote, below your station. It's easier and sometimes better to marry a woman that's not expecting so much. She comes from a very, very high station in life, and she's expecting to have servants, and she's expecting to have caviar and filet mignon every night. And a woman who would be from a lower station in life, so she's not expecting as much. So don't be afraid to go take a wife from somebody that's in a lower social class than you are. As opposed to when you're choosing friends that can help you and guide you, sak darga, bechar shushbina, go up a step rather than going down. Go and try to find somebody that's going to be your advisor, your friend, your guide. So then don't settle for a lower level person. There you want the highest level person. Now, not chas v'shalom, it's not saying you settle for a lower level wife. What it's saying is from a social class setting, take a wife. Don't be afraid to take a wife that will be not expecting as much. When you're dealing here with a person who give you advice, you want the advice to come from a person that has a certain savvy, a certain business sense. So then go take somebody that's on a higher level than you. Okay, again, these are very interesting agadah advice that the Gemara is giving us here. Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Avin, the Gemara continues and says, Rabbi Elazar Avin said, Ein paranus bali olam ela b'shul Yisrael. Nothing happens in the world except to stimulate, educate, warn Klai Yisrael. Everything comes in the world because of Klai Yisrael. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, it's a Pasuk from Tzafanya, Hichrati Goyim, I have destroyed, I've cut off the Goyim, the various nations, Noshamu Pinosam, I've destroyed their buildings, Hechrafti Chutzosam, and I've destroyed their roads. And the end of the Pasuk says that everything will be destroyed. Pasuk had continued, nobody will be on their roads anymore. Their cities will be empty. Nobody will dwell there anymore. In other words, everything will be destroyed. And why is this? The Pasuk continues and tells us, this is all for you to take warning, to be get Musar over here and understand that if I do this to them, this could happen to you as well. So the whole purpose of all of these things is to warn Klai Yisrael. Gemara continues and tells us a fascinating story about Rav and his wife and Rav Chiya and his wife. So Rav, having mitzvah mir Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya was Rav's uncle. He was an uncle on both sides. We mentioned this several times. And in any event, so Rav was very close to Rav Chiya. He was a star pupil of Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya was a star pupil of Rebbe. Rav also learned by Rebbe. In any event, Rav had met Rav Chiya once when he was saying goodbye to Rav Chiya. So Amalei, Rav Chiya said to him, I give you a bracha before you go. Rachmono litzlach mi midei dekasha mi musa. Hashem should save you. He should protect you from something worse than death. So Rav asked him, Umi ikon midei dekasha mi musa? What could be worse than death? So, Nafak Dak Vyashka. So, he went to figure out this enigmatic bracha that Rav Chiya had given him. So, he went down, he investigated, and he found this pasuk, the famous pasuk from Koheles, Umotze Ani Mar Mimoves Eso Isha Vigomer. The pasuk continues, and it says, Umotze Ani Mar Mimoves Eso Isha Asherhi Mitzodim Vacharomim Libam Asurim Yodea Tov Lefnei Elokim. A woman can be a tremendous trap for a man, can be something that's worse than death if she unfortunately is not a good wife. Now, Maisa Shoya, Rav Havi Kometzari Leil Devisu. Rav did not have a healthy marriage. Or is never afraid to tell us specific details about our great, great sages, our great, great Noshim Sidkanios. They weren't perfect. They're human beings. And we have to understand this, that it's not something that we can just say, well, this is a petty little thing. There's great messages here that Chazal are trying to teach us. So Rav did not have a good relationship with his wife, and she would give him a hard time. Ki ama lo avidi li tlofachi, if she would prepare supper for Rav, and he would say, can you please make tlofachi, which are lentils? So she, bumfaker, did the opposite. Of the lay chimse, she would make him chimse. Chimse is translated in a number of different ways as some other type of vegetables. Okay, now, if instead he had asked her, please, Avdalei chimse, go and make for me chimse, so then, Avdalei tlofachi, then she would make him lentils. Now, ki godal chiyah v'rei, Rav named his son after his uncle, after Rav Chiya. So he had a son, Chiya. When Chiya grew up, he saw the difficulties that his father was going through, so Rav would often tell Chiya, go tell mommy, this is what we would like to have for supper. So when Chia grew up, he saw the tzar that his mother was giving to his father. So abichle, so if his father would tell him, ask mom to please make chimsi, and she would make tlofachi, or if he would say, please make tlofachi, and instead she would make chimsi, so Chia was smart, very smart, and he flipped it around. So if Rav Dev asked for chimsi, he would tell his mother, Dad would like tlofachi, and then she would make the chimsi, pumfaker, and vice versa. So Amalei, Rav now started getting what he was asking for supper. And he told Chia, Ya'ala lochimach, your mom has improved. She's gone up. She's doing much better. So then Chia explained to his father, Rav, what he did. Amalei, no, anahu, tekof ichnala. I see what you're going through. So I just told her to make the other thing. And this way, she made what you really wanted. So Rav says, Yashar Koyach, very, very nice. You're very smart. Amalei, hainu deko amri yinshi. This is what the popular maxim is amongst people, that they say, the nafik minach, that which comes for you, tama malfach. They are sometimes able to come up with stuff that you never would have come up with. In all the years, I never thought of that. What a smart idea to flip around what I wanted, and this way I'll get actually what I wanted, rather than getting the opposite of what I wanted. However, he told him, even though you're a very smart boy, and even though you really made things a lot better for me, at lo tavid hachi. If I do it, that's one thing. But you shouldn't do this because you're going to get accustomed to lying. Shenemar, limdu lishonam daber sheker habi v'gomer. You shouldn't ever get into the habit of teaching yourself, so to say, to lie. I asked you to tell mom to go make tlofachi, and you're lying if you tell her dad wants chimse. Even though you're doing it for the right purposes, and even though your motives are pure, you're training yourself to go and tell lies, and that you shouldn't do. Rav had said, if I had thought of that, that would have been fine for me to do, because I'm allowed to say, I would like to have tlofachi, even though I mean that I want to have chimtzi. That's not a lie for Rav to say that, because he's allowed to say, this is what I want. But for you to go and specifically do the opposite of what I asked you to do, that's training yourself to lie. So the important mus over here is how important it is to be erlich and honest. And also, you see a beautiful idea here, that Rav praises his son. Before he tells him you didn't do the right thing, he first praises him. Very, very good musa for a parent to a child. Mark continues and tells us that Rav Chia also didn't have a good situation with his wife. Rav Chia have a komitzara lay divisu. Rav Chia's wife Mustama did the same thing that Rav's wife did to him. He have a mishkach midi. Nevertheless, when Rav Chia would go out in the marketplace and he saw something nice, Sayer lay besudre, he would go wrap it up in his kerchief, or maisi niela, and bring it home to her. In other words, he would get her small little tokens, he would bring her presents all the time. So Rav was amazed at this. Rav knew what Rav Chia was going through. Only Rav, I see what she does to you. You're not in the happiest of marriages, and yet you're buying her these little gifts and trinkets all the time to show your affection to her. So Amalei, yes, he says, Dayenu, it is enough. Shemagadlos banenu, that they raise our children, umatzilos osanu, and we turn to samachim olamidbeis min hachet, that their presence, so to say, prevents us, as Rashi says, from hearer of Eir, not chasashom, that he would go and commit adultery, that he would go do arayis. But even the thoughts of this, they satisfy us, they raise our children. For that alone, even for all the other things that she may not be so perfect as, we have to give tremendous hakaras hatov. She's doing the essence of what a wife has to do, which is to be a comfort to the husband in some ways, as well as to raise the children in the proper way, and therefore we have to give tremendous hakaras hatov to our wives, even when they're not perfect. The Gemara continues and says, Makre lei Rabbi Yehuda le Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rei. Rabbi Yehuda was learning with his son, Rabbi Yitzchak, and he read him the following pasuk. This pasuk from Koheles, Umot sani mar mivaves eso isha. Something is worse than death, that's a wife. Now, before anybody gets upset or worried, we also have that a person finds a good wife, there's nothing better in the world. Matzah Isha, Matzah Tov. So we also have to contrast these two psukim, which is what the Gemara is now going to do. So Rav Yehuda is teaching this pasuk to his son, Rav Yitzchak, and his son innocently says, Amalei, kagon man, give me an example of a woman who's worse than death. And Rav Yehuda says, kagon imcha, your mom. Apparently their relationship wasn't so good either. Iding word says, that's not true. We have elsewhere, the Rav Yehuda taught his son Rav Yitzchak, Ein adam motzei kores ruach elam yishto rishona. A person will never really be fully happy as he is with his first wife. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Yehi mekarcha baruch usmach me'eshes nurecha. That you will be extremely happy with your first wife, the wife of your youth. So it seems that he had a good marriage. And in fact, Rav Yitzchak, his son Esav, Amalei Kagon Man, will give me an example of somebody who's extremely happy with the wife of their youth, and he says, Kagon Imcha. And Rav Yehuda said, your mom, I'm extremely happy. So here you see that Rav Yehuda says, I'm extremely happy with my wife, and then Rav Yehuda says, Motani Marmi Mavis Esawisha, that's my wife also. So which one is it? It seems to be a stira between his two tastes. One is his wife is perfect, and the other one his wife is not. So Gemara says, no, that Rav Yehuda really loved his wife, and she did certain things that were sometimes upsetting to him. So miskif takifa, when she was sometimes very strong, so that would sometimes make him upset when she was stubborn or did certain things wrong. However, v'avur be'avra b'mila, so she was very, very quick, however, to give up her anger. And so actually says, nochil eratzel, she was very easy to then be happy. Umaveris amidosa, and she would constantly work on this. In fact, some of the Mefarshim say that when he first said, give me an example of a woman who is motzani marmi mavis esoisha, listen to this beautiful idea, it's that she had the tendencies to be a horrible person, but she worked on it. She strived so much to correct all of the deficiencies. There's a famous medrash that says that Moshe Rabbeinu was an extremely harsh person. They once drew a picture of him, the medrash, a very controversial medrash, that says one of the kings wanted to see Moshe Rabbeinu, so he sent an artist to draw a picture of him, and this king saw the picture, said, this is a horrible person. He said, I can't believe you drew this picture correctly. So he went to meet Moshe Rabbeinu, and he saw this, and he says, but your picture, your visage should be a horrible person. Moshe Rabbeinu said, yeah, I had those tendencies, but I worked on them all my life, so that's not the way I really am. So too, some of the Mefarshim explain over here that Rav Yehuda's wife had the natural tendencies to be a shrew, had the natural tendency to be the very bad woman. And that's what he said, Kiman Kigo Imcha, who is a person like this that would have been Motzani Marmi Mavis Esaisha, that would have been your mom. But in fact, she was a wonderful person. She was She was very, very medactic to try to change her ways, and that's why he loved her so much, and that's why she was really a great wife. Gemara says, Hechi Dami Yishara, give us a definition of a woman who's a bad woman. So Abaye says, this would be, for example, Mekashtele Taka or Mekashtele Puma. This would be, for example, a woman who sets up the table to eat and then doesn't eat with you. Or Mekashtele Puma, or she opens up her mouth to insult you while you're eating. As Rashi says, she's constantly annoying you with her mouth, to go make you unhappy. Others explain this more as a euphemism. She, so to say, implies that she wants to have relations with you, but then she says no. Okay. Rav Amar, Rav gives a different explanation for this Isha Ra. He says, Makashle Taka, Umhadrele Gaba. She sets the table, but then she turns her back on him. So she doesn't sit down to eat with him, or as I just said, she doesn't have relations with him. She seems to imply that she wants to, but then she says no. As Rashi says, Shelo lechol imo mitzaroso. She doesn't want to eat with him, to sit at the table with him, and just wants to give him grief. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chama Ambar Chanina. We have another statement from Chama Bar Chanina. Kiven shenosa odemisha, when a man takes a wife, avonosov mispakikin. So that's the very common custom. The chosin and the kala, they daven before their wedding. They say the vidui, the yom kippur mincha davening, and all of their sins are forgiven. They're considered like a brand new creation. Hakadosh Baruch Hu forgives the sins. So avonosav mispakikin, all of their sins are plugged up. Pakak in modern Hebrew is traffic. So all of their sins are forgiven at the time of the wedding, and they say, based upon the pasuk, shenemar motzo isha motzo tov. If you find a wife, you found goodness. Vayofek rotzon mei Hashem. You've been given a great blessing, a great wonderful thing. This wife, when you found a good wife, this is a tremendous bracha from Hashem, the greatest bracha that you could get. That's what the pasuk in Mishlei means over here. That when a person gets married, if he's found a great wife, this is a great, great bracha from Hashem. In Eretz Yisrael, they said, the Marava, they said, Kinosif Inishit, so when a man would marry a wife, they would say to him the following, Amilehochi, the question that they would ask this chosin was, Motza or Motza? Did you find, in fact, Motza Isha or Motza Tov? In other words, did you have a Motza type of a wife? Or, Rachmona Litzlan, do you have a Motza type of a wife? From the pasuk that we said, Motza ni Marmi Bavis is a Isha. So he would somewhat jokingly say to the chosin, no, Motza or Motza? Again, Motza Dirsiv, Motza Isha, Motza Tov, and Motza Dirsiv, Motza Ni Marmi Mavis Eso Isha. So they would jokingly say to him, "Nu, which one did you get, Motza or Motza?" Amar Rava, Rava continues, and he says, Isha ra mitzvah legarsha. As much as we don't like to have divorce, if the wife is not an Ezek Kenegdo, if the wife is unfortunately not working on the same team, so then sometimes the man has to divorce his wife. Dichsif, this is based upon the Pasuk. Pasuk for Mishle, Goresh Leitz, V'yetze Modon. You sometimes have to go and divorce the scoffer, the woman who's making fun of you, V'yetze Modon, and then your life will get better. All of the troubles will go away. V'yishbos din v'kolo. And the din and kolo, and the embarrassment, and all these other things will stop. Again, Nebo, sometimes a person has to go and divorce a wife. But as we see from Rav and Rav Chia, that even if the wife isn't perfect, that's not a reason to divorce a wife. It really is something that a marriage, especially if they're children, a marriage should always be worked upon. And divorce is an option, but always the last option. Kosh Baruch Hu gave us parashios to deal with divorce. There's dedim of gerushin, but they're never the first step, and it's something that should be worked at, and especially if they're children. So it has to be always what's best for the entire family unit, and sometimes you have to put up with some things that aren't ideal, and this is a very, very important musa, very important parasha, and we have to go right in the Gemara, but one could spend years learning this sugya to its fullest extent. The Amar Rava, Rava said further, Isha Ra Uksubasa Maruba. If a person has a bad wife, but unfortunately has a very high ksuba, it's going to be very difficult for him to go and divorce her. So what should he do? Can't divorce her. Can't afford to divorce her. So go what? You know what? Take a second wife. When you go take a second wife, Rashi says, Yiso Acheres Etzla. And this way, she will go and now have competition. And therefore, this will improve her. The Amrinshi, as people said, the popular maxim was bechaverta v'lo besulta, that you can sometimes accomplish with a co-wife. Now there's suddenly competition for attention and for everything, so therefore you can accomplish more sometimes by bringing in a chavrusa, a co-wife, v'lo besulta, as opposed to a thorn, a contentious situation, a coats, Rashi says. Tosus adds over here that Rava holds l'taimei, that we will have in a couple of days on Daf Samachay, no seyodim kama noshim alishto, that Rava holds that a person can take a second wife even though his first wife is still present. Again, this will be a whole discussion as to whether you need to ask her permission, because when she got married the first time, so then it was with the understanding that she would be the only wife. If there is going to be a second wife, it has to be with her approval. So Rava's opinion, we'll learn in Yitzhak Shem on Daf Samachay in 2 days. Rava continues, he says, Yom Rava, kosha isha ra, Kiyom Sagrir, that having Nebuch a bad wife is like having a storm. Yom Sagrir is a very stormy day. Shenemar, and this is based upon another pasuk for Mishlei, where it says, Shenemar, Delef Toreid Biyom Sagrir, you have a hole in your roof, and the water is dripping in on a stormy day, on a rainy day, the Eshes Midyonim Nishtova, and this is equivalent to having a wife that's constantly fighting with you because there's no place to go. If it's pouring outside and it's dripping in rain in your room, so you can't go outside. So you're stuck. So too, if you have a bad wife, you're stuck. It's going to make life very, very difficult. So it's like having a bad wife is like having a rainy day and also having a leak in your roof. Amar Rava, Rava says further, Bore kama tova isha tova. Rava tells us how wonderful it can be to have a good wife, and Nebuch the other way, the Chamara, Ishara, and how bad it can be if you have Rachmon al-Slani, bad wife. Kamatova, Isha Tova, Rava tells us how great it is to have a good wife, based upon the passage that we just had before, Dixiv, Motz, Isha, Motz, Tov. The person has a good wife, he's essentially found all goodness. Iba, Gavo, Mishtoi, Kro. Now, if this literally is to be taken referring to a wife, so it teaches us, Kamatova, Isha Tova, Shakosa, Mishabcha, how great it is to have a good wife. The Torah is telling us this is the greatest thing in the world, that you found goodness by having a good wife. But if this is just an analogy over here, if this is just used for a marshal, so if it's telling us that Motzah Isha means Motzah Torah, then you found all goodness. If it's using this as an analogy, so nevertheless, even there, Iba Torah Mishtoikra, if the Pasuk is an analogy for Torah, so then look what they're saying is the best thing in the world, Torah, look what they're comparing it to. Kamatov Isha Tova, Shatorah Nimshalabah, that the Torah, of all the possible analogies that it could have used, all the possible Mishalim that it could have used, it chose to say the Torah, which is Tova, so it compares it to finding a good wife. Similarly, Rava says, Kamara Yishara, never how bad it is if you have a bad wife. So if you take it literally or not, we'll see in a second. This pasuk from Mishlei as well. So he says, if it's literally talking about a bad wife, so then Kamara Yishara, Shakasu Magana. So that's telling us that it's worse than death, worse than Gehenim, to have a bad wife. So if it literally means that, it's telling us the literally how important it is to have a good wife and not Rachman al-Sam to have a bad wife. But if the pasuk is actually referring to Gehenim, when it says that Motzani Marmi Mavis Saisha, it's actually referring to something that's worse than death. Death will lead you to the Olam HaEmes, but if it's going to lead you to Gehenim, that's even worse. So Iba Gehenim Ishtoikra. So again, look what the Torah says: the worst thing in the world is Gehenim, and what does it compare it to? Kamara Yishara She Gehenim Nimshalba. Imagine how bad a bad wife is if Gehenim is compared to a bad wife. If all the things that the Marshal could have been, it uses a wife, just like by good, by bad, same idea. Teaches you the importance of a good wife, and lahavdo rachman ulsan, how difficult it is if you have a bad wife. Mark continues and brings down the following pasuk, a pasuk from Yirmiyah. So it says, Hinni mevi aleyam ra, ashalo yuchlu lotzeis bimena. Kosh Boko says, I'm going to bring you a ra, something terrible, and you're not going to be able to escape. Lo yuchlu lotzeis bimena. So what is this referring to? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Rav Nachman said, Amar Rabba Baravua. This is, again, a reference to Zoisha Ra. This is referring to a woman who's a bad woman, she's a bad wife, and unfortunately, uksubasa maruba, she has a very, very high ksuba, so it's not so easy to get rid of her. Similarly, we have a pasuk from Eicha, Nisanani Hashem bidei la'uchakom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put us into the power of people who we cannot stand. We can't stand up from them. Amar Chist, Amar Marukva Barchia. Amar Chist said the name of Marukva Barchia. He said, Zu Isha Ra, Uksubasa Maruba. He says, this pasuk also refers to that a person is in such a terrible situation where he has a bad wife, but he can't afford to divorce her. Her ksuba is very, very high. In Eretz Yisrael, they learned it a little bit differently. But Marava Amru, Zeh Shemazonosav Tuluyin Bikaspo. This is a person who has to always buy his food. He doesn't grow his own food. He's always dependent upon what the market is, and he has to pay for everything with cash. And therefore, if the prices go up, he's in Gahak Ditzaris. He has a lot of trouble in that situation. As Rashi says, this is on the last of the wide lines, and Dibra Maso Tuluyin Bikaspo, Shenlo Zriya Bikaka, he has no agricultural methods himself. He doesn't have any farm. The kolshon meitz of a dog, and he has to therefore worry and be concerned. Shema tiyakira tvua, that the prices will go up, or yinalu shari shever, or that the stores will be closed. They won't have produce, and he's stuck. Well, he has his money. He doesn't have any food in his cupboard. Mark continues and quotes another pasuk. Banecha uvnosecha nesunim liyam acher. The pasuk in Dvarim tells us that your children will be handed over to someone else. What does this mean? Amar Chanan Barav, Amar Rav. Rav Chanan Barav says the name of Rav. This is a reference to Zu Eshe Sa'av. This will be when Rachmona Litzlan, the mother, dies. So the children then are still living with the father. The father gets remarried. And now there's a stepmother, the evil stepmother. So this is Banecho V'dosecha, your children, Nesunan Li'am Acher. The Av Acher is referring to a stepmother. That will be the situation that the children now find themselves in. Similarly, the pasuk says, Begoy Novol Ach Isain. The pasuk continues and says, very bad nation, I will go and castigate Klal Yisrael. Amar Chanan bar Rav, Amar Rav. So Chanan bar Rav, Amar Rav says again, Zu Isha Ra, Uksubasa Maruba. He darshens his pasuk to say that it'll be very bad for you when you have a bad wife and the ksuba is very, very high. Alternatively, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Elu Atztokim. This is referring to the Tztokim, those people from the Talmidim of Baisus and Sadok, that Nebuch didn't believe in the Torah Sheh Baal Peh, and they darshened things very literally, and they made terrible, terrible mistakes. The Chenu Omer, Omar Novo Belibo, Ein Elokim Vagomer. So the bad one said, that's novel, this horrible person said that there is no God. So this is a reference to people that are denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tztokim. Some say that the word shouldn't be the tztokim over here, that the word should be over here, the minim. But the censors went and changed this around. Okay. Finally, b'masnisa tana, we learned in the following brisa, elu anshei barbaria. This is a reference to the people that come from this place called barbaria. The word barbarians comes from this word, mistama. The anshei martinai. And people that come from another place called martinai. Shemahalchin arum b'shuk. They walk around naked in the marketplace. Right? You have Nebuch, Rachmana Litzlan, you have nudist colonies. That's what they're referring to. This is a horrible, horrible, terrible practice. There's nobody as sheketz. No, nobody says as terrible, umasov and disgusting a toeva. Lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, lefnei Hamakom, Yosef Mishim Halach B'Shokara. The person walks around without clothing on. Is just basically saying to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, I have no tznius whatsoever. I have no concern whatsoever. Rav Yochanan Amar, Rav Yochanan says, Eilu Chabarim. This is a reference to the Chabarim. The Chabarim were a very, very bad group of people that never caused tremendous pain and suffering to all those that were around them. And to illustrate this, the Gemara continues, says, Amar Leila Rav Yochanan, Asu Chabari Lebava. Rav Yochanan, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, was told that the Chabarim, these vicious, evil people, had come to Bavel. And Shiga Nofal, he was so upset when he heard this news that he fell down. Amulei, they said to him, Mekabel Shochta, these people do accept bribes, so therefore we can mitigate somewhat their horrible, terrible things that they do. So Toretz Yosef, so then he stood up, because Baruch Hashem, there would be a little bit of a salvation. Then he said, Gazru al Shlosha mipnei Shlosha. The Chabarim made three terrible decrees against the Jewish people, and Rav Yochanan explained that there were Mida Kineged Mida, that we had done certain things wrong, and therefore the Chabarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Chabarim to decree these things against us. So, number one, Gazru al Abasar, they said that we're not allowed to go and Shecht Mead. Why? Mipnei HaMatanos. Because when we didn't give the Matnos Kahuna, the person that's to give the Zroel HaChayayim and the Keva to the Kohen, that's from every non-carbon animal, you have to give the Matnos Kahuna. The Kohanim are entitled to 24 Matnos Kahuna, and the Matanos that you're supposed to give to them from every kosher Shechted animal, we weren't giving to them. So, therefore, Mida Kenegin Mida. We didn't do what we were supposed to do, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Chabarim to prevent us from doing Shechita. Number two, Gazru al HaMechotz, the Chabarim said that the Jewish people can't go to the mikvahs, they can't go to the bathhouses. So why is that? Because Mipnei HaTvila. Because we didn't do Tvila properly, and therefore, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't want to do Tvila? I'll have the Chabarim come and take away your Mechotzos, all your bathhouses. Not only the mikvahs, but even the bathhouses. Third one was called Mechatete Shochve. The Chabarim would dig up the dead people and do whatever they did with them. They would move them to someplace else. Mipnei Shesmechem Biyom Edom. Because the Jewish people, the reason for this was we were celebrating on the Goyish Chagas, on the Goyish holidays, so therefore we were happy with the Goyim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you want to be like the Goyim, so then we'll dig up the graves that you have. And this is based upon a pasuk that we have from Shmuel Aleph. Shnemar, V'hayso Yad Hashem Bochem. If you go and don't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you follow the Goyish Chagas, if you follow the Goyish holidays and Nebuch becoming assimilated with them, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take it out on you and on your fathers. Now, how can you take it out on your fathers? So Amar Rabbi Bar Shmuel, so chatute shochvi. This will mean that they'll go and take out the graves from where they were. The Amar Mar, Bavon Chayim, Mesim mischatted them. Because of the sins of the living, sometimes the dead have to be taken out of their graves and reburied or whatever they did with them. Rava said to Rabba Mari, it says in one pasuk, this pasuk from Yirmiyo, it says, Lo yesfu, lo yikoveru ledomen, al pnei hu adamoy yu. So they won't be put together in one place, they won't be buried, they'll be like Rachmon al-Islan excrement, they'll be on the earth. And then it says in another pasuk, Uksiv, v'nivchar moves michayim, that it's preferable to choose death rather than life. So what does this mean? If people see that they're not being buried, why would they want to have death over life? It doesn't make any sense. So how do you explain this seemingly incomprehensible series of psukim? So Rava asked this question to Rabba Bar Mari, and Amalei, Rabba Bar Mari, said back to him, Nivchar Mavis L'Rishayim, it's preferable for the Rishayim that they should be dead, because Shlo Yichlu Balam Hazeh V'Yechtu V'Yiplu B'Gehenim. So they shouldn't live in this world and do further sins, and as a result, end up going to Gehenim. So that's why it's still preferable, Mavis Michayim, for these people, even though that's something obviously very difficult to fully understand. Cost of the Sefer Ben Sira, we have in the Sefer Ben Sira, Ben Sira, according to some, was a son of Yirmiyahu that was produced via Zera that Yirmiyahu had on his body, that he went into a bathhouse, and then the mother of Ben Sira became pregnant from that Zera. Again, very unusual and strange circumstance around his birth, according to some. In any event, he wrote a Sefer, known as the Sefer of Ben Sira. It was not codified into the 24 books of Tanakh. There are parts of it that were very problematic, but there are parts of it that are good. So it says in Sefer Ben Sira the following, Isha Tova, Matana Tova. If a man has a good wife, that is a tremendous present from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bach says to delete the next words, and we continue with, Bechek Yirei Elokim Tinose. She is given to a person who's a Yori Shemayim. So isha ra, tzaras abala. A bad wife is like a tzaras, a terrible thing to the husband, a nega to the husband. And maite kante, so you go shana. Sometimes you have to divorce her. And then the yisrape mitzarato. And that's how you clean yourself, you heal yourself from this tzaras. Isha yofa ashri bala. We continue, the Gemara says that if a man has a wife who's beautiful, that's a wonderful thing for the husband. Praiseworthy is that husband. Mispar yomov kiflaim. It doubles his days. What does it mean it doubles his days? It means, the Mefarshim explained, that he will live twice as long because he won't have kares. So the punishment of kares for doing various of the sarayas that we learned early in the Masechta, so they could shorten your life. So therefore, if a man has a wife that's pleasing to him, so then he won't, Rahman al-Islam, look elsewhere, and therefore, this way his days will be doubled. In other words, he won't suffer kares. Marketina says, Halim in Echam Eishishchein, don't go and look at somebody else's wife. Penti loche bim sudos, Rahman al-Islam, you'll become entrapped, and Rahman al-Islam do a terrible avera. Likewise, Altait Eitzel Bala, don't hang out with her husband, because you'll end up wanting to be with him, to be with her. So, limsuri moyayim v'shecha, don't get together with him with wine and drink, because it could lead to terrible things. Kibasar isha yofa rabim hushchasu, because of beautiful women, many people have been destroyed. Atsumim kol harugel, and many, there are tremendous numbers of people that have been killed because of such relationships. Rabim oyu pitzei rochel. In fact, the rochel is a peddler. That's where we get the word rochilus from. He goes from town to town, and he spreads things from one to the other. So that's why the lashon rochilus comes from rochel. But Nebuch, he's always hanging around with women. He's selling things to women. And many of the blows that a rochel gets, hamargilim l'dvar erva, because unfortunately, they're so much in contact with women that it could lead to, rachmon al-Islam, all sorts of immoralities. Kinitzos mavir gachel, it's just like a little spark can ignite a big flame. Kichluv molei of, just like a pigeon coop can be filled up with birds, kain bateim aleim mirma, so too their houses of these peddlers can be filled, unfortunately, with terrible things. The Gemara continues and says, Altei tzar tzaras mochor, don't go and be worried about tomorrow. Why? You have no idea what's going to come. And maybe nothing bad will come tomorrow. Shema mochor bovenenu, that thing that you were terribly worried about isn't going to happen. And him tzar mitzar ala olam, shein shalom. And you'll be worried about something that isn't coming to pass. Likewise, don't have a lot of people coming to your house. And don't bring everyone into your house. Not a lot of people, and not every single person should be able to come into your house, because they could lead to, unfortunately, terrible things happening as a result. Many people, however, should find out and ask, how are you doing? But when you're telling a secret, be extremely careful. Only tell those personal, private things to the rare individual, one in a thousand, because that also is something that's not going to lead to anything positive. Now we go back and say, repeat something that we discussed before. Amar Vasi, Ein Ben David Bo, Ad Sheichlu Kol Neshomos Shebaguf, that Moshiach Zana Kom, Ben David's Moshiach, Moshiach Zana Kom, until all of the Neshomos that HaKadosh Baruch has in this Otsar in Shemayim, known as Guf, have come, as we put the Pasuk down, Shenemar Ki Ruach Melefona Yatov Neshomos Ani Yosisi. Okay, so Gemara is going to analyze this a little bit more. Tanya, we learn in the violin rice, or Rabbi Ezra Omer, Rabbi Ezra tells us, Kol mi she'eino osek b'peirut rivya, anybody that doesn't participate, isn't involved in peirut rivya, again, we explained many times, this means either the idea that you should try and have children, you can't be commanded about something that you don't control, or as we brought down the famous Marsha, that you should try to make sure that people have shiduchim, so therefore they can go and participate in the mitzvah of period of rivia. So somebody, if you don't do this, you're as if you're killing people. If you kill somebody inside a person, this is one of the classical places where we learn out an isser of abortion, whether it's direct isser daraisa, and what level of isser daraisa it is, according to almost all, it's an isser daraisa. Whether it is a chiyuv of ritzicha or whether it's a chavola, which would be a different situation. In any event, this is the pasuk that's used classically for that. But here we're darshaning in another way, because it says right after this pasuk, usiv basrei v'atem puravu, that you have to go and be fruitful and multiply. And therefore, if you don't do this, the juxtaposition, these two psukim tells us if you don't do this, then it's as if you committed murder. Rav Yaakov Omer, kilu memayit hadmus, it's as if you're diminishing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world. This is based upon the pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us in His image, and it says right after, so therefore, the juxtaposition over here tells us that you're diminishing HaKadosh's presence kaviyochel in this world, but you're not engaging in puravu. Benazi says it's both of them. It's as if you're committing murder, and as if you're decreasing the presence of the Shekhinah. Shenemar v'atem puravu. Again, the same drasha that we just said. Amar le Benazi, they said to Benazi, that's a beautiful drasha that you just gave, but you're not the poster boy for this, because Benazi, as we know, was once married to Rabbi Akiva's daughter, but he divorced her, and then he never remarried, and he never had children. So they said, Amar le Benazi, yesh no adorish, there are those people that know how to darshan very, very well, but no amakayim. And they also perform what they say very well. They darshan beautifully, and then they follow what they said. There are others that are no amakayim, that they fulfill very well the halacha. However, they know adorish, but they're not very good darshanim. But you, Vatoa Noridaris, you're a great darshan. However, you don't know amakayim, but you don't fulfill what you said, because you're telling us over here that if you don't have children, you're shoveh damim light hadmus of the Shekhinah, so you're unfortunately not having children. So Benazi said, what can I do? Omer Benazi, Umay said, I have no choice. Shenavshi choshka b'torah. I am unique in the sense that I'm the exception that proves the rule. I'm so immersed in Torah that I can't be married. It's not fair to the woman. And he was married to Rabbi Akiva's daughter, and it just didn't work out, because all he wanted to do was sit in the base of Medrash and learn, and his life was totally immersed in learning. He couldn't be a father. He couldn't be a husband. And therefore, he's the exception that proves the rule. So he says, so other people will fulfill this mitzvah of Puravo, and for me, he was unique. He was the exception. He was the one who just sat in the base of Medrash all day. We have another brayis, Tani Yidoch, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Kol Mishen Oseg Beferi Yeriviyah. Somebody doesn't engage in Beferi Yeriviyah, Kil Shofek Dam. Again, the same idea. It's as if he's murdering people, killing people. Shenemar Shofek Dam Adam, the Pasuk, Usimich Lei Latem Peruvu, Pegomer. The same drasha that we just had. Rabbi Elizabeth Azariah says, Kil Mayat Admus. It's again, similar drasha to what we just said, that he's diminishing the presence of Shekhinah, and then Bezayim, Ruchule, and Amal Benazazay, Yeshno Ador Shuchule. So this other brayis recapitulates what we just said. And another by Satana Rabbanon, V'vnucho Yomar, Shuv Hashem Rivo Salva Yisrael, the famous pasuk that we say when we take out the Torah, when the Aron, the Ark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say, sit over here amongst all of Klal Yisrael. We turn to Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, Malami, this is coming to teach us, Shein HaShechinah Shorah, HaPochus Mishnei, Alofim Mishnei Revovos Yisrael, that the minimum, so to say, amount that the Shechinah's presence in the fullest sense would be when there are at least 22,000 people. Revava is 10,000, so Shnei Revavos, and Shnei Alofim is 22,000 people. HaRisho Yisrael, Shnei Alofim, Mishnei Revovos, Chaser Echad, implying that if you had only 21,999 people, you're missing one. Vizel lo asa b'fir yiriviyah, and this one person could have made that 22,000 person. So it turns out lo nimsa zegor b'shlina shetstalk miso. He's causing the shlina's presence not to be felt in the fullest way. Similarly, Avachadon Amar Mishum Rabbi Elazar. He said chayv misa. This person's chayv misa. Shenema uvanim lo yolohem. The person doesn't have children. That implies that Nadav and Avihu died because they didn't have children. Nadav and Avihu were great, great people, but it says, Uvarim Loyalahem, why did it have to tell us that fact? It must be because that fact was the precipitating factor in their death. So, they would have not died, Lo Mesu. Achayim Omrim, so often Rav Meir, Achayim tells us, Gorim L'Shchina Shtalik Mistral, it caused the Shchina to leave Chai Yisrael. Again, Shnemar, Yosuchol Elkim, Uluzaracha Acharecha, Hashem will be your God for you and for your children after you. So, Bisman Shazaracha Acharecha, when you have children that follow after you, Shchina Shorah, then the Shchina's presence is strongly felt. And in Zaracha Acharecha, Rahman al-Lasan, if the children aren't following after you, or Rahman al-Lasan, if you don't have children, Ami Shorah, where is the Shchina supposed to go? Al Eitzav Al Avonim, supposed to go on inanimate objects, so that's not going to be the proper way. And therefore, the bottom line from all this is the person should engage as much as possible in Piri Rivia. Today is Yom HaZikaron when I'm dictating this. Yom HaZikaron is a day when we mourn the 25,000 holy members of Tzal that gave up their lives to save Eretz Yisrael, to fight for Eretz Yisrael, to save all of us. And I think it's very appropriate, A, that we dedicate the shir in their memory, but also to think our Gemara today is talking about how many children, these 25,000, they're mostly young people, how many children that were unborn because of their deaths we're dealing with. And that's really the saddest of all these situations, that all of those hundreds of thousands of children, Jewish, beautiful children that would have been in the world, who by now would be parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, some of them themselves. We have to remember what the tragedy of all of those deaths are, and we dedicate this year to Ilui Nishmasim. With this, we conclude today's year.